The world right now is a disaster. It's easy to feel helpless. But there was a moment when millions of people around the world said enough. I'm Sisson Kim Simong. Join me for Boycott, the fight to end apartheid, how Australians joined others around the world to push back against racism and won.
Whites only teams, we thought that to the average Australian, that would be despicable.
Boycott, the fight to end apartheid. Search for ABC Rewind on ABC Listen or wherever you get your podcasts.
ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
One evening, months before Geoffrey McLean's body was found in a wheelie bin, the 55-year-old was attacked by an older man who threw acid in his face. Now, that man has told the jury that it was Cherie Glastonbury, the woman on trial for Geoffrey's murder, who put him up to that job. I'm Stephen Stockwell. This is episode 5 of the case of the Wheelie Bin murder.
A gruesome discovery on vacant land in Adelaide's north. Police say the remains belong to missing man Geoffrey McLean.
When Geoffrey's body was located, it had been dismembered. It was located in a wheelie bin.
Four people have been arrested in relation to his death.
A woman who's accused of murdering her ex-partner.
They're hopeful they can provide relief to his family.
The web of relationships around the murder of Geoffrey McLean has grown since our last episode, with a former lover of Cherie Glastonbury, a man by the name of Anthony Lloyd, saying she made him throw acid over Geoffrey just months before he disappeared. There is a lot going on in this trial, so to help break it all down, we're joined by ABC Adelaide court reporter Eva Blandis. Welcome, Eva.
Hi, Stocky.
It's so nice to have you back, Eva. And as well as Eva, we're also joined by court reporter Jordana Shriva, who was in court during Anthony Lloyd's evidence. JD, welcome to the pod.
G'day.
Eva, this acid attack, can you take us to what's said to have unfolded here?
Yeah, so it's May 10, 2022. This is when this acid attack happens. Geoffrey McLean goes out the front of his house where he's living with Cherie Glastonbury. A man appears sort of out of nowhere and throws something on him. Obviously, it hurts. A fight breaks out, and then the man who threw the substance, which we now know as the acid, hobbles off down the road. Obviously, emergency services are called, and Cherie says she doesn't know who this mystery man was.
Yeah, right. But I mean, the thing is here that she does know who this man was. The man hobbling down the street is, as we've mentioned, a former lover of hers, a guy called Anthony Lloyd, who has told the court that Cherie Glastonbury put him up to this attack, orchestrated this attack on Geoffrey McLean, roping him in to throw this acid. JD, who is this guy and how does he meet Cherie Glastonbury in the first place?
So Anthony Lloyd was on a dating app and he met Cherie via this dating app. At the time, he was working in Port Augusta, living in Port Augusta, and working FIFO out near Moomba, which is in the far north of the state. So they started chatting, and eventually on one of his stints off, he came down to Adelaide to meet her in a pub in the northern suburbs.
Yeah, nice. I mean, Anthony Lloyd, we've talked about how he's a little bit older than Geoffrey McLean. This is a guy who's in his, I think, 60s at this point. What was he doing on the apps?
Yeah, so he was actually encouraged by his second ex-wife to join the app. She had told him that she wanted him to move on, basically, and encouraged him to get on there and meet new people.
Right, okay, cool. So here we are, 2014. This is 8 years before Geoffrey McLean's body is found in the vacant lot, in the wheelie bin. We have Anthony Lloyd flying to Adelaide, meeting Cherie Glastonbury at a pub and kind of starting this relationship. I mean, what's this relationship like? How does it start?
It sort of started out really well. He said that he treated her as a trophy wife, that it all started. He was very happy. He was 14 years older than her and thought she was very good looking. She was outgoing, and he said that they just seemed to get on really well together.
Yeah, that's nice. And so he was living in Port Augusta. Does he kind of try to shack up with Cherie at this point?
Yeah, so it took a little while. He ended up, on her encouragement, moving to Adelaide. So he moved into a house just a couple of streets away from her. She'd found that house online for him. And so he moved down to Adelaide. It was some months later, the following year, rented a house nearby, and then, yeah, everything just sort of evolved from there.
Yeah, nice. And I mean, you know, you've talked about how this relationship started. Seems like, you know, Anthony Lloyd's kind of enamored with Cherie Glastonbury, right? You know, younger woman, really outgoing. Yeah, you know, he really fancies her. Does it continue along that vein?
No, so it sort of turned a little bit. He explained that they became distant and that they weren't seeing each other as much despite him living so close. It ended up being that he would do sort of more odd jobs for her and that sort of thing, and that they weren't catching up as often.
Yeah, right. I mean, the thing I find so fascinating about these sort of trials and the evidence that we get from romantic partners is like how much of their life you end up seeing and hearing through the court process. I mean, as this relationship waned, was it just a matter of them drifting apart or was it kind of antagonistic?
It was a little bit antagonistic, I guess. So what happened was because he'd had an iPhone, his mates from work basically told him that now he had a smartphone, he could watch pornography on his phone. And so he started doing that. And then because of that, he said that he was getting these messages to his phone and Cherie had found them and basically thought that he was cheating. And so she would accuse him of cheating, calling him a creep, a loser and lots of other things, and then would start to hit him as well.
Right. So it got violent, we heard from Anthony Lloyd.
Yeah, it did. And there was an occasion there was a couple of different occasions at his house where he explained that she had attacked his door, had attacked his car and would kick him, hit him and had kicked him in the balls.
Oh, right. Did we hear anything from Anthony Lloyd about whether he hit Cherie Glastonbury through this period?
No. So he said he would just take it, that he didn't believe in hitting women. He didn't think that that was okay.
Yeah. And I mean, they've kind of drifted apart a bit at this point. Is this the kind of the end of the relationship?
It never sort of seemed to come to a strict end, I guess. He obviously was still in love with her and he kept thinking that it could work. But there was a point where he got to where he would drive past her house on the way to work and he would see all these different cars that were at the house. And he said that she explained that those cars belonged to a cousin's friend and then later on did eventually tell him that those cars belonged to Geoffrey McLean.
Right. So we have Geoffrey McLean, who was living with Cherie Glastonbury. We've heard this previously in the trial. It sounds like almost replacing Anthony Lloyd. I just can't imagine how strange it would be driving past your, I guess at that point, former partner's house, seeing these cars in the driveway. It sounds like they kept in touch, though. You know, did Cherie Glastonbury and Anthony Lloyd talk much about Geoffrey McLean?
Yeah, it sounded like they did. So he explained that he would often get calls and messages from Cherie. It was a pretty regular occurrence and she would complain to him that Geoffrey McLean was abusive towards her, that he would hit her, and had also complained about him taking her money and spending it on things like golf trips and petrol for his car and beer and drugs and that sort of thing.
Yeah, right. I mean, we did hear, again, in the prosecution openings that police attended the house of Cherie Glastonbury once after a domestic disturbance call and saw bruises on Cherie Glastonbury at that point. And, JD, I mean, we started this episode talking about an acid attack, but that kind of isn't where Anthony Lloyd gets dragged into this. There's something else that Cherie Glastonbury asks him to do first, right?
Yeah, there is. She wanted to basically stop him from being able to drive his car. So he had a couple of different cars, but there was only one that was working at the time. And she wanted him to be able to make it so that he couldn't drive it. So on this particular occasion, she'd encouraged Anthony Lloyd to go and get some araldite, which is like a glue, and to put it in the barrel of his car so he wouldn't be able to drive it. And so after some discussion about that, he agreed to do it and went and put the araldite in the barrel. But he used some WD-40 to sort of heat it up so it wouldn't dry so quickly. So he told the jury, yeah, that he had used this WD-40 so it could help it get into the barrel, put the whole tube in the barrel, and then got a phone call when he got home and to say that the car was actually alight.
So he had set, because we have heard about Geoffrey McLean's car being set on fire. He said it was never his intention to set the car on fire, just to seize up the ignition barrel, basically. And this is an accidental sort of outcome here?
Yeah, absolutely. He had not realised when he left that that's what had happened. but yeah, it obviously did.
Yeah, yeah. And this is a kind of fits into a series of kind of attacks on Geoffrey McLean at this point. Now, we've spoken previously in the podcast that he has accelerant sprayed in his face a couple of months before this, also hit with a log splitter as well prior to his car being set on fire in this instance. And the prosecution allegation in those instances is that it's a guy called Mark Murphy, also on trial for Geoffrey McLean's murder alongside Cherie Glastonbury, that's responsible for those attacks. And then we get to this acid attack, JD. What's going on there? How does Cherie Glastonbury, or how does Anthony Lloyd say Cherie Glastonbury kind of coordinates this?
So he explained that he actually got a call from Cherie Glastonbury while he happened to be in Bunnings one day, and he was looking for some type of acid, basically. So she was asking him on the phone if something like acid could actually permanently harm Geoffrey McLean, because that's what she had been asking him to help with.
Right, yeah. And is it a straight line from this phone call at Bunnings to, you know, him popping up out the front of Cherie Glastonbury's house and throwing acid on Geoffrey, or did he take a bit of convincing?
No, he took quite a bit of convincing. He told the jury that he was very reluctant to help initially. He didn't want to be involved. He didn't want to hurt Geoffrey McLean, but he said Cherie was rather persistent, and eventually he had agreed to do it.
And JD, what kind of planning do Anthony Lloyd and Cherie Glastonbury do before this attack? Is it spontaneous, or is there a bit of work involved?
No, there was quite a bit of prep work. Anthony Lloyd told the jury that there were quite a few conversations about how he would actually go about it. And there were some discussions about moving a table or a bench that was outside the house so that he could stand right near the door. And that basically what they would do is that convince Geoffrey McLean that he needed to come outside to get something out of the car, and that at that stage he would throw this acid towards Mr. McLean.
Yeah. And is that how this works? Does it go to plan?
No, it doesn't go to plan exactly. So they had made all these arrangements beforehand. Anthony Lloyd told the jury that there were lots of ideas that Cherie had, and that included moving a bench near the door so that he could stand near the door, taking out a light globe so that he wouldn't be able to turn on the light as he came outside. Mm-hmm. The plan was to get Geoffrey McLean to come outside and collect some beer from Cherie's car. So they arranged for her to unlock the car as a signal with the lights flashing that Mr. McLean was about to come outside the house. Mm. But, yeah, so the light actually came on, and Anthony Lloyd told the jury that he had thrown the acid on Mr. McLean, but he was able to fight back essentially, and they ended up wrestling on the front lawn.
Yeah, and I mean, I think we've heard previously that Geoffrey McLean, he's a bit of a fighter, so, you know, kind of knew his way around, you know, an altercation more or less. How does that go for Anthony Lloyd?
So, yeah, Cherie had warned him. He told the jury that Cherie had warned him that Geoffrey McLean was able to fight, but she had also said that because of his build, so he told the jury he was 6'4" and weighed about 115 kilos at the time, that because of his size, he would be able to hold his own. Mm. But, yeah, the pair still ended up wrestling on the front lawn.
Yeah, yeah. It's sounds like a bit of a fight. I mean, we heard about this struggle from Geoffrey McLean's side during the openings of the case against Cherie Glastonbury and Mark Murphy, with the prosecution saying, yeah, there was a fight, and Geoffrey McLean was a bit worried, actually, that the guy who'd attacked him and thrown this acid on him would get away. So he asked Cherie Glastonbury to sit on this guy's legs while he kind of held him down, and then Cherie Glastonbury freaks out, says that this guy can't breathe, and so pushes Geoffrey McLean off, and he runs away down the road, basically. Runs probably actually too strong a word, sort of stumbles off down the road. Does Anthony Lloyd get caught?
He does. So he explained to the jury that he wasn't able to run because he was injured as well from the fighting, and so he had managed to walk down the road, but I don't think he got particularly far at that point.
Yeah, no, so it actually turned out he was quite injured, and he spent 3 days in hospital in the Lyell McEwen Hospital, which is in the northern suburbs, before he was then obviously taken into proper custody.
Yeah, and so because the police rock up after this fight, right, and they arrest him.
Yeah, so he gets arrested that night and he later gets charged with an aggravated offence of causing serious harm with the intent to cause serious harm, and a little bit down the road eventually pleads guilty.
Yeah. And Eva, you mentioned at the start of this episode that originally Sheree Glastonbury says she doesn't recognise this guy. You know, from Anthony Lloyd's account, you know, him and Sheree are kind of in cahoots with this whole thing. I mean, once he's arrested, is he cooperative? You know, is he saying about how Sheree Glastonbury put him up to this, or is he kind of keeping a bit of that to himself?
He's sort of keeping it a bit to himself, but he is cooperating at the start in the way that he's talking to police, but he's not telling them, well, the jury has heard, he's not telling them the truth. He's initially protecting Sheree.
Right, okay. And I mean, throwing acid over someone, that seems like it's almost certainly a crime. You mentioned that Anthony Lloyd is charged over this. Does he spend time in prison as well?
He does. So he ends up getting sentenced to a non-parole period of 2 years. So he spends those 2 years in custody, and then he's put on home detention for 1 year.
Got it. Okay. And I mean, in all of this is kind of Sheree Glastonbury, right? Like the trial that we're talking about, the case of the Wheelie Bin murder, is the murder trial of Sheree Glastonbury and Mark Murphy. And, you know, those two both have barristers in this courtroom. After we hear the evidence in chief from any witness, there's an opportunity for these barristers to cross-examine witnesses. What came up when those barristers had the opportunity to kind of question Anthony Lloyd?
Yeah, so we started with Catherine Waite, who is Sheree's lawyer, or junior. We know from background that Mari Shaw's the leading barrister, so that's the junior. So she took over this cross-examination, which went for quite some time, quite a few days. She asked Anthony Lloyd a variety of questions, you know, sort of starting with Sheree's treatment of him, but then she eventually gets into Anthony Lloyd's arrest. So as we were just talking about, he's arrested after that incident. She questions him about what he initially told police. So, you know, asking if it was a lie. So she sort of goes through that initial storyline that he provides them, which is sort of all over the place. There's not really a story there. He's not really telling them anything that makes sense.
And this is immediately following his arrest, right?
Yeah, a few weeks after, because, of course, he's in hospital for that while. So it's, you know, around that time.
Got it.
She also then starts talking to him about whether he pleaded guilty to the squeeze bottle attack and the log splitter attack. As we know, Sheree Glastonbury and Mark Murphy are charged with that now. But he did actually plead guilty to those incidents in September 2022. But then, a few months later, he withdrew those pleas. So that's all a bit interesting. And he said that the reason he had pleaded was because his lawyer had told him to plead guilty.
Yeah,
and he just did.
Yeah. So to plead guilty to all three of them, or just to the final one, the acid attack?
All three of them. So initially he had, but he withdrew them. So, and as we now know, he's no longer charged with them. That's Mark Murphy and Sheree.
Yeah.
So he was questioned about if it was true that he was told by his lawyer to do that. Initially he was saying in his cross-examination that, yes, he was just doing what he was told by his lawyer. But then Miss Waite produced a police affidavit and read back on that. So that was from January this year, so January 2026. So not that long ago, really. And in that affidavit, he said that his lawyer had advised him not to plead guilty.
Right. So he has told the court, look, I pled guilty to these things because, you know, my lawyer told me to three different instances and attacks on Jeffrey McLean, two of which he now says he didn't do because his lawyer said he should. And then we have seen evidence presented saying that was not the advice of the lawyer at all.
Yeah, so he was then obviously asked if he had made things up to make things easier for himself, and was sort of asked about the placement of when Jeffrey's body was found and all of those sort of circumstances. And he said no, that he did just decide to tell the truth.
Right.
And we also did, of course, because we've got all of those barristers sitting there at the bar table, we did, of course, also hear from Bill Boko, who is the barrister for Mark Murphy. Mm-hmm. He was just sort of touching on what Miss Waite had already said, and then there was just some re-examination to sort of get all the alleged facts out.
Yeah, great. No, I appreciate that, Eva. There's a lot to unpack there. Yeah, trying to keep your head across all of these things, the role that Anthony Lloyd has played in them. I mean, just to kind of clarify, there's no suggestion that Anthony Lloyd is in any way involved in the murder of Geoffrey McLean, right?
No, not at all. And it's also not alleged that he was involved in that log splitter attack or the squeezy bottle attack that has completely changed from that initial position of him even being charged and pleading guilty.
Gotcha. Great. And, you know, we're talking here about the acid attack and also the setting the car on fire scenario. I mean, did anything come up with the setting the car on fire scenarios? Does he face any consequences or charges relating to that?
No, he doesn't. He doesn't face anything. He's actually got immunity from the court and from the prosecution to discuss the car fire and to say, you know, implicate himself, so to speak, without facing any consequences. So obviously it sort of all came out that he was involved in the acid attack. He pleaded to that. As part of him doing that, he got a discount of 40% or somewhere around that in his sentencing for the acid attack. So then in his communications with police, and obviously the car arson came out, and he has also not been charged with that.
Right. Okay. It's interesting to hear about the kind of the discount that's applied for the cooperation, and, you know, I guess partly is part of that because he's giving evidence in this trial?
I think it was mainly because he was actually just helping with the investigation at that time. So he was questioned about that in his evidence, and he said that he believes he got around 40% discount for talking to police and helping them with their investigations.
Got it. Great. Thank you for clarifying. I got really in the weeds there, but I was just kind of curious. So I appreciate you you humouring me there, Eva. I mean, as we spoke before, it doesn't sound like Anthony Lloyd was completely honest in his dealings with police initially, certainly in the early stages, certainly when he was pleading guilty to two things that he now says he didn't do and two other people are on trial for. How has he explained himself?
So, of course, in cross-examination, this is what was asked, you know, why did you lie? If this is the case, then why did initially you say the opposite? But he told the jury he was just trying to cover himself and Cherie.
Right.
He admitted that he lied quite often, actually, in the cross-examination. He admitted that the things he had said, you know, statements were put to him. He said, no, that's a lie. He also didn't shy away from admitting that there were confusing details in his answers. Like I mentioned before, that initial interview with police was a bit all over the shop. He was just saying he was wanting to protect himself and Cherie, and I don't think he really had a game plan.
Yeah, right, okay. It's so interesting hearing you talk about Anthony Lloyd and Cherie Glastonbury, you know, just in these ways. I mean, we're not really talking about Cherie Glastonbury, we're talking about Anthony Lloyd and how he's relaying these stories about Cherie Glastonbury. You know, JD, after everything you've told us about this relationship or what Anthony Lloyd says about this relationship, I mean, how does it look when he's in the witness boxes? I mean, is he kind of dirty on Cherie?
So he's in the courtroom, the witness box is up near the bench where the judge sits, and he was angling himself to talk to the prosecutor, respond to her questions. And then there were a couple of occasions where he did seem to steal glances towards the dock, which was to his left and towards Cherie Glastonbury.
And Eva, what was Anthony Lloyd like during his cross-examination? I mean, there's always this sort of different energy between your evidence in chief, which is the prosecutor kind of drawing out little bits of information, usually kind of like, yeah, kind of comfortable line of questioning, depending on the witness, I suppose. Cross-examination, usually a little bit more tense where they're testing bits and pieces. How was Anthony Lloyd during that?
Again, he was just he appeared to be very focused on answering those questions and concentrating on what was being asked of him. So he was mainly looking at those barristers who were cross-examining him.
Yeah. And I mean, it's been a couple of weeks since we last spoke, since we did an episode of the Wheeler Bin murder. Who else have we heard from in this time? Has it been mostly Anthony Lloyd, or have there been other witnesses as well?
Yeah, so there's been a lot of Anthony Lloyd. As you can imagine, the evidence he's giving is quite monumental. So it took quite a few days. And there was also then, of course, that cross-examination. And then we've got re-examination. So it went on for a long time. We then moved on to Anthony Lloyd's son, Christopher, who also sort of just helped to set up what he knew and all of that. And then we heard from Adam Simons, who was a friend of Anthony Lloyd and lived in that sort of northern suburbs area too.
Great. Thank you, Eva. Thank you, JD, as well, for joining us and talking us through all of that. Before I release both of you, though, we do have a few questions that are coming through to the Case Of inbox. The Case Of at abc.net.au is where you can send any of your questions, your thoughts, your musings. I do very much appreciate getting every email that comes through, and we do read every single email. I want to start with a question here from Janelle. She's asking about the events that lead up to the alleged murder of Geoffrey McLean by Cherie Glastonbury and Mark Murphy. Now, we have spoken previously about how Geoffrey McLean had accelerant thrown on him, was hit with a log splitter, and now the acid attack. And Janelle asks, how come the prior incidents in this case were led into evidence unlike the Mushroom murder case, where we didn't hear about the previous alleged attempts on Simon Patterson's life by Aaron Patterson?
So I'm obviously not that across the Mushroom murder case, as I didn't cover it, but my understanding is they weren't charged acts. However, in this trial, those previous attacks are charged. So as well as standing trial for the alleged murder, Cherie Glastonbury and Mark Murphy are charged with these attacks. It's just Cherie who's charged with the acid attack. And obviously Anthony Lloyd was charged too, but that's been dealt with quite a long time ago. So that's why it's sort of up. It's a good question, because I suppose if comparing the two, it's a bit confusing. But yes, so as we are saying murder trial, but it does, of course, encapsulate all of the attacks.
Yeah. There's a number of charges led against Cherie Glastonbury and Mark Murphy alongside the murder charge for Geoffrey McLean that is sitting there. If you want to get an idea of kind of where this is all coming from, jump back and listen to the first episode of the case of the Wheeler Bin murder, where we kind of cover off all of that, all the key players in this trial as well. Eva, thank you for answering the question. Janelle, as Eva said, wonderful question. So I appreciate you getting in touch. Another one here from Daisy. Daisy is listening to the pod from Adelaide and has asked about attending court. How can she go and watch this trial? She's really interested in kind of how this is unfolding. Is she able to just kind of wander into the court?
Yeah, so that's another really good question, because I feel like a lot of people these days don't really come and watch because they feel nervous about coming. But yeah, you can just come in, and if she wanted to, Daisy, if you want to see what it's like to come in, you're always welcome. If it's closed court, there'll be a sign up saying closed court, so don't come in then. But otherwise, you just come in and bow at the judge when you come in and sit down. And of course, because it is stop start, you can just check on the court's website on the Supreme Court criminal list to see if it's listed that day.
Right, and that'll be something like Glastonbury v. The Crown or something like that when it's listed on the website?
So it will just come up as, 10 a.m. Glastonbury, well, Cherie Glastonbury, Mark Murphy, Peter Murphy, Lynette Sexton, and their charges alongside their names.
Great, so there you go, that's how you do it. And great tip about bowing to the judge on your way in, on the way out, if they're sitting in the room. If you come in and the judge isn't sitting at the front of the room, you can sit down, and when they come in, you got to stand up and then bow. But make sure you do the bow, because it's the polite thing to do. It's something I've learnt along the journey of reporting on courts. Really appreciate all the messages that have come through to the case of at abc.net.au. If there's something that you're wondering about, there's something you'd like myself or Eva or maybe JD, we can drag JD back onto the pod if you've got a question for JD as well. Please get in touch, the case of at abc.net.au. Eva, before we wrap up for this episode, do we know where we're going next or what's coming up?
Well, we'll eventually be hearing from people Cherie Glastonbury allegedly confided in. And then I'm also keeping an ear out for the time that we will get to listen to the listening devices that allegedly captured conversations between Mark and Peter Murphy.
Yeah, lots still to come in the case of the Wheeler Bin murder. So Eva, really appreciate you taking us through all of this.
Oh, thank you for having me.
And JD, thank you so much for joining us on the Case Of for this episode.
No worries. Thank you.
If you have any questions, please get in touch. The Case Of at abc.net.au is our email address. I can highly recommend getting around ABC Listen. This is the app where we put all of our stuff up on before it goes anywhere else. So if you want to be front of the queue, get around ABC Listen. It is a wonderful app full of not just the Case Ob, but a heap of other ABC content. And if you're listening somewhere else, just give us a rating and a review. It makes it much easier for people to find us. But if you want to kind of even cut that corner, you just tell your friends, drop it in the group chat, tell them about how you're listening to the case of the Wheelie Bin murder and all of the things you've learnt about the justice system from this pod. Be back in your feed on Thursday with an episode of the Case of the Two Intruders. I'll catch you then. The Case of the Wheelie Bin murder is produced by ABC Audio Studios and ABC News. This episode was reported by Eva Blandis and Jordana Shrivo and presented by me, Stephen Stockwell. Our supervising producer is Greg Muller and our executive producer is Claire Rawlinson. This episode was produced on the land of the Kaurna and Wurundjeri people.